following paid program does not necessarily reflect the views of News Radio 830 KHVH, its staff, or management.
Now it's time for the Hawaiian Eye Show, sponsored by Hawaiian Eye Center, where life has never looked better. This is your weekly informative hour all about eyes. Learn about cataracts. Ask a question about glaucoma. Find out how diabetes affects your eyes. Stay tuned for an entertaining and educational program about eyes and eye care. Call in to have your questions answered by the doctor. Now, your host, Harvard-trained eye surgeon, Dr. Christopher Tortora.
Good morning, everyone. It's time once again for our regular weekly program about eyes and eye care. It's called the Hawaiian Eye Show, and it's sponsored by Hawaiian Eye Center, where life has never looked better. We're going to be here for the next hour talking about glasses and bifocals, about laser beams and eye surgery. We can talk about your cataracts or your contacts, itchy eyes, droopy lids, or whatever it is that interests you. If you'd like to join in today, you can give us a call. Our number here, 521-8383. We'd love to hear about your experiences and answer your questions. If you can't call in today or maybe you're feeling shy, you can always email us your questions. Our email address is eyes@hawaiianeye.com, and we can answer questions over the air in coming weeks. While you're online, you can also check out our website, hawaiianeye.com, or follow us on Twitter. Go to twitter.com, look for Dr. Tortora, D-R-T-O-R-T-O-R-A, no spaces. And on Facebook, you can find Hawaiian Eye Center, which will update you with lots of information about what's going on around the center and around the world of eye news. During the next hour, we're going to discuss eye news from around the country and around the world. Sometimes we'll do an eye quiz to test your IQ, and we'll have a lot of fun today. Remember, all opinions expressed on this program are those of myself and the other medical doctors at the Hawaiian Eye Center. That's Dr. Stephen Ree and Dr. Nancy Lundblad. And we're all ophthalmologists, or IMDs. That means we're medical doctors who specialize in the eyes. We're going to try to be consumer-oriented today, make an effort to give you the best possible practical advice. But, you know, I can't see through the telephone, so I may have to recommend an examination before I can tell you exactly what's going on in your eyes. So sit back, relax, and enjoy an hour all about eyes. Well, I woke up this morning, and as it got light, I looked out the window, and I noticed that everything was really, really hazy. And usually what that means is that the volcano fog, or so-called vog, is blowing over from the Big Island. And that vog is rich with particulate matter, which is what makes it hazy. The little bits of little particles that are blown out of the volcano or that are vaporized when the water, when the volcano lava hits the seawater, and it vaporizes molten rock into solid rock, and some of it is thrown into the air in the form of steam. But there's also hydrogen sulfide or sulfuric gas, which is released from the volcano itself, which is also sent up into the air. And most of that, when we have trade winds, gets blown way downstream away from Hawaii. And so most of us don't experience any problems related to this sulfur in the air when there is a normal trade wind day. But when the trade winds stop or when kona winds show up, then all of a sudden all of this volcano fog is blown back in our direction. And a lot of people show up in my office complaining about vog affecting their eyes and affecting their vision. So let's talk a little bit about how vog and other sources of allergy, because basically what vog sensitivity is a form of allergy in the eye. Let's talk about what they can do in the eye and what we can do about it, so that those of you who are affected by the vog can be a little bit better prepared. Again, it's if you're listening to the program on a Saturday morning, chances are we're live here. Chances are good. And so you can go ahead and give us a call if you have any questions, 521-8383. So vog is basically an irritant, and the sulfuric acid in the air is irritating to the surface of the eye and to all of the mucous membranes. That's why people often get a burning of their nose and of their throat, and sometimes they get a cough. All of this is our body's reaction to an irritant in the air, which is this hydrogen sulfide gas. And this gas is basically toxic to some of the mucous membranes. And the eyes, the inside of the nose, and the inside of the mouth are all mucous membranes. They require moisture to stay healthy, and they are also more sensitive to certain types of irritants. And so in the eyes in particular, the types of symptoms people generally experience from VOG, from this particular irritant, are burning of the eyes, irritation, redness, and sometimes tearing of the eyes. And a lot of people come in and say, gee, you know, my eyes get really itchy and irritated when we have a voggy day. And that's really because of that irritant. So what can you do about it? Well, one of the things that you can do is you can keep your eye well lubricated. You can use artificial tear drops or moisture drops in your eyes, which help to lubricate or soothe the surface of the eye, and they also wash out whatever irritants there are in the air that are causing the irritation of your eyes. So using frequent use of tear drops can be quite helpful in controlling the symptoms associated with VOG or other irritants in the air. And people say, how frequently can I use the tear drops? And, you know, and I say, well, use them maybe about 4 times a day. And they go, wow, that's a lot. But really, you could use tear drops every 5 minutes if you want throughout the whole day, and it's not going to do any harm. The artificial tear drops are designed to just lubricate the surface of the eye. They don't have any significant amounts of medicine in them or anything that builds up significantly in the eye, so using them frequently is not a problem. Now, if you are going to use them more often than about 4 to 6 times a day, I would recommend what's called a preservative-free artificial tear drop. The preservative-free drops tend to be a little easier on the eyes when they're used frequently because they don't have a preservative in them. Many preservatives, which are used to prevent growth of bacteria and viruses and other things in the bottle, also cause a little bit of irritation in higher doses on the surface of the eye. So if you put a drop in your eye on an ongoing basis quite frequently that has the preservatives in it, then often that will cause some further irritation of the eye. So for people who are using the tear drops very frequently, let's say more than about 4 to 6 times a day, then go ahead and try to find some artificial tear drops that are preservative free. And these are easy to find in the drugstore. They're right next to the regular artificial tear drops that have preservatives in them. The way you can usually tell the difference is that the drops with preservatives tend to come in larger bottles because the bottles will last. They won't become infected with bacteria or other pathogens, other things that could cause harm. And because these bottles are not likely to become damaged or to go bad, then they can come in larger bottles, and you can keep using those drops for a long period of time. For the preservative-free ones, as soon as you open the container, there's the risk that infection could get in there, and so they're designed to be used once and then thrown away. So they typically come in little single-dose containers, little plastic containers that you can break open, put a drop in your eye, and then put them away again and throw them away after that, so that then you don't have to worry about any of the side effects from the things that the preservatives or any other problems related to the drop. So preservative-free drops are helpful. Now, if you have an allergy in the eyes, sometimes allergies can manifest themselves in the same types of symptoms. The eyes can be red, they can be itchy, they can feel irritated, they can be teary. You can have a little thin mucus discharge sometimes related to an allergy. And allergies are most commonly associated with itching, but can be associated with other types of irritation as well. Allergy can be made worse by an irritant like VOG. Allergy can also be made worse by drying of the surface of the eye. Many people's eyes are a little dry to begin with, and the allergy and the dryness on top of each other tend to cause more symptoms. For allergies, tear drops often work fairly well too. Artificial tear drops you can buy without a prescription in the drugstore, just like what we recommended for the VOG. But the people who have more severe allergic symptoms, and they're just involving the eyes, they're not having coughing, sneezing, runny nose, and so forth as well, hay fever, what we call hay fever symptoms, if they're just having itchy eyes or allergy of the eyes, then often other anti-allergy medications can be helpful. They're a combination of over-the-counter allergy medications and prescription allergy medications, which seem to work differently for different people. Some people respond well to one, some people do better with a different one, and so using the anti-allergy drops can be helpful in reducing itching and irritation of the eyes from allergy as well. And so how do you know if you have an allergy? Well, if your eyes seem to be chronically red and itchy and irritated, particularly at certain times of the year, that's often related to an allergy. Now, for people who have allergies that also cause runny nose and hay fever symptoms, these allergies are usually involve many parts of your upper respiratory tract, and it can involve your eyes as well. Sometimes systemic allergy medications are good for these people, and that would be pills like Allegra or Claritin or some of the other anti-allergy medications, some of which are over-the-counter and some of which are prescription. These anti-allergy medications, though, do cause a little drying of the surface of the eye, so if your symptom is primarily in the eye, I would recommend allergy drops rather than systemic allergy medications or pills. And they tend to be more comfortable and work better if the symptoms are pretty much just in the eyes. We're going to take a short break. When we get back, we're going to start talking about some of the eye news from the past couple of weeks. And, of course, we can always take your calls.
If you need the personal attention of Dr. Tortora or one of the other doctors of the Hawaiian Eye Center, where life has never looked better, visit their offices in Central Oahu and in Hilo on the Big Island. Call for your appointment. The number on Oahu is 733-2020. That spells C-2020. From the neighbor islands, call toll-free 1-888-621-2020.
When you have a cataract, your vision gets gradually worse over time. You don't see as well.
Having the corrective surgery and now having the vision of a much younger man, I can see again.
Our state-of-the-art surgery center offers safety and convenience without a hospital stay. Visit our website and learn what's involved in a cataract procedure. You'll be surprised how easy it can be.
Take a virtual tour of a cataract procedure at their website, HawaiianEye.com. To make an appointment, call Hawaiian Eye Center at C-2020. That's 733-2020. Or from the neighbor islands, call 888-621-2020.
The Hawaiian Eye Show phone lines are now open. Give us a call at 521-8383 with your questions for the doctor. If you're calling from the neighbor islands, call us toll-free at 888-565-8383. Now, back to your host, Harvard-trained eye surgeon, Dr. Christopher Tortora.
Can you see me now? Hawaiian eyes, can you see me lost? Paradise.
All right, welcome back, and you're listening to the Hawaiian Eye Show. I'm Dr. Christopher Tortora. We're talking about eyes, and as we do every Saturday morning, if you enjoy the show and if you're listening maybe only for the first or second time and you want to hear some more, you want to hear about some of the other things that we've talked about in previous weeks, you can go right to our website, HawaiianEye.com. You can subscribe to a podcast of the radio program, or you can go ahead and listen to streaming episodes of the program right there posted on the website. So you don't have to limit your eye exposure to only Saturday mornings or Saturday nights, depending whether you're listening to the rebroadcast. All right, we're talking a little bit about some things related to eyes, as we normally do at this in this hour every week. I've got some news stories here that have some interesting information in them here. We have an story here about an eye test that may be able to accurately identify schizophrenia. So this is an interesting issue. It says using a series of simple eye tests to identify abnormal eye movements may help clinicians to distinguish patients with schizophrenia from those without, according to new research. A study of almost 90 patients with schizophrenia and almost 90 of their healthy peers showed that tests focusing on viewing patterns could detect eye movement abnormalities associated with the disorder. And in one combined data model, the test correctly discriminated between the two groups with 98.3% accuracy. This is a tremendously exciting result, but test sensitivity isn't enough. We want to know about specificity, whether the same test can also distinguish schizophrenia from other illnesses, according to lead author Philip Benson, a psychologist and senior lecturer in psychology at King's College, University of Aberdeen in the United Kingdom. Dr. Benson noted that his team is very excited about further research, which is yet unpublished, has actually shown that these eye tests can also distinguish patients with bipolar disorder from those with schizophrenia and from healthy control patients. We are quietly confident that a subset of unipolar major depression may also be accessible to our approach, he said. For now, the investigators note that these eye tests are cheap and easy to administer in a clinical office. Eye movement abnormalities appear to be stable traits, independent of current neuroleptic medication, polypharmacy, or mental state at the time of testing. They may prove to be valuable potential biological markers of schizophrenia in the future. The study was published in the November 1st issue of Biological Psychiatry. Psychiatrists have spent a long time looking at smooth pursuit and saccadic eye movements in patients with major psychiatric illnesses, said Dr. Benson. Although the ability of these tests to differentiate patients with schizophrenia from healthy controls has shown promise, accuracy levels have not been impressive, many stuck at the 60 to 70% level. But he noted that he and co-lead author David St. Clair from the Department of Mental Health at University of Aberdeen in Aberdeen have a lot of experience in researching eye movements. It became clear that their different backgrounds and skills could be a good, could make a good team to figure this out. So they put these people together for the study, and they did find that they got near perfect accuracy with that. It says, during a free viewing test, patients with schizophrenia often follow an abnormal pattern with their gaze while scanning a picture. Those without the disorder tend to follow a typical scanning pattern. A fixation task asks that an individual keep his or her gaze steadily on an unmoving target, a request that's often difficult with those with schizophrenia to follow. After a 9-month interval, a subgroup composed of 26 of the patients with schizophrenia and 8 without were retested. In addition to further predictive test validity, 36 new patients with schizophrenia and 52 without the disorder were tested. So the results showed that all patients with schizophrenia had abnormal performances on each eye test compared with their healthy peers, and they stayed stable even taking into account sex, use of medication, and whether or not the participant was a smoker. So that's pretty good. So it looks like they are going to be looking more at this particular test to see if it might have some further clinical usefulness in the future. Kind of interesting. We've got a story here about the evolution of vision and some of the things that allow us to see. In order for the eye to work in most of the animals that we know of that have eyes, there's a certain pigment inside the back of the eye which is sensitive to light, and this light-sensitive pigment is basically what converts the light image that hits the back of the eye into a signal that sends the vision back to the brain. And this pigment is called opsin. It's rhodopsin or some of the other opsin pigments. And so this particular study says it used a computer model to provide a detailed picture of how and when opsins evolved, and that may shed light on the origins of sight in animals, including human beings. Says the evolutionary origins of vision remain hotly debated, partly due to inconsistent reports of phylogenetic relationships among the earliest opsin-possessing animals. Basically, that means how were the animals related from the evolutionary standpoint? Were they part of similar families that all arose from a similar organism or other animal? Or were they parts of different families, and did they develop these opsin pigments independently? Or was it something that started in one early ancestor and then branched out and involved all types of animals after that? So it says here, Dr. David Pisani of Bristol School of Earth Sciences and colleagues performed a computational analysis to test every hypothesis of opsin evolution which has been proposed to date. The analysis incorporated all available genomic information from all relevant animal lineages, including a newly sequenced group of sponges being the things that live at the bottom of the ocean, and the, I don't know, this is an unfamiliar word, cnidarians, a group of animals thought to have possessed the world's earliest eyes. Using this information, the researchers developed a timeline with an opsin ancestor common to all groups appearing some 700 million years ago. The opsin was considered blind, yet underwent key genetic changes over the span of 11 million years that conveyed the ability to detect light. Dr. Pisani said, "The great relevance of our study is that we traced the earliest origin of vision, and we found that it originated only once in animals. This is an astonishing discovery because it implies that our study uncovered, in consequence, how and when vision evolved in humans. So that's kind of interesting, looking at the pigments that affect the vision or that allow us to see. And by studying the development of those pigments in different animals over the course of time, over the course of evolution, they were able to make conclusions about when, in fact, vision developed and how vision developed or how eyes developed in different types of animals. So it's kind of interesting to think about how different eyes are in different animals and also how similar they are. The basic principle of how the eye works is very similar in many different types of animals, but the details, the specifics of how the eye is designed can be quite different. And based on the differences of the eye design in different animals, there is a difference in how they function or how they work or how effectively they work. So, for example, an eagle's eye, a bird of prey that flies high above the ground looking for small rodents moving around way down below, works differently than a fish's eye, which is designed to work underwater, where the index of refraction of light is different than it is in the air. Or a fish's eye, there's some fish that actually live with their heads or spend most of their time with their heads half in the water and half out of the water, and they have like a bifocal eye, that one part of which is designed to see underwater and one part of which is designed to see in the air. And so all of these different adaptations that have been made to allow different animals to see, but all on that same basic principle, which is this opsin pigment that is converted by light into an electrical impulse, which can then carry through various nerves, can then carry the vision signal back to the brain. So it's kind of goes all the way back to how the eyes actually work and how they developed over time. So let's see, what other news stories do we have here? We have a story here about the ophthalmic industry continues eye, organ, and tissue donor drive. So actually, in many conditions affecting the cornea, the surface of the eye, the treatment for these conditions is to do a transplant of the damaged tissue. If the cornea is damaged from scarring or from an infection or from other types of issues, then often if we have to replace that tissue that's been damaged, and replacement tissue has to come from some kind of a donor, like an organ donor, just as if someone needs a new kidney, that kidney has to come from an organ donor. So in the case of eyes, the organs, the eyes are generally taken from people who are deceased, people who don't need their eyes anymore, obviously. It's not like a kidney where you can harvest one kidney from a living person and they can still do fine. In an eye, you obviously wouldn't want to do that. So basically what is happening is that there is a work to try to encourage people to become organ donors so that when they do die, they don't need their organs anymore. They can be used to provide vision or other benefits to other people. So it says here, leaders of several major ophthalmic organizations are asking healthcare professionals to join them in giving the gift of life by registering as eye, organ, and tissue donors. The Are You a Donor campaign will continue by targeting the ophthalmic community at the 2012 American Academy of Ophthalmology meeting, November 10th through 13th in Chicago. Abbott Medical Optics and Allergan Foundation and Bausch & Lomb have joined forces with global eye banking specialist SightLife to increase eye, organ, and tissue donor registration, especially among physicians and other medical professionals. The Are You a Donor campaign is also supported by the American Academy of Ophthalmology and the Eye Bank Association of America. Only 42% of adults in America are registered as donors. Physicians and other healthcare professionals can improve the rate by demonstrating their commitment to donation, according to Monty Montoya, the CEO of SightLife, the only nonprofit global health organization solely focused on eliminating corneal blindness in the U.S. and around the world. We registered 500 new eye, organ, and tissue donors in April and hope to register even more at the Academy's annual meeting. Academy of Ophthalmology conference attendees will have the opportunity to register as donors as they walk the trade show floor. Staff in the Are You a Donor booth will be equipped with iPads to quickly register attendees as eye, organ, and tissue donors. Well, since most of you out there will not be attending this meeting, it probably is not relevant to you, but I, in fact, will be attending the meeting of the annual meeting of the American Academy of Ophthalmology to learn more and new and more and interesting things about the field. And so I'll be reporting back in a couple of weeks about some of the news and some of the information that we encountered at the meeting of the American Academy of Ophthalmology. This is the largest meeting of eye specialists in the world. I think in the world. I'm pretty sure in the world. It's certainly the largest one in this country, but I believe it's the largest one in the world. And there is an international crowd as well. We see people from all over the world, including Europe and Asia, and even some third world countries managed to make it to attend this meeting, which I'm going to be attending in Chicago next week, along with some of my staff. So we'll bring lots of news and information about that to you in coming weeks. We're going to take a short break so that you can listen to the news, not the eye news, but the regular news, and then we'll be right back.
If you need the personal attention of Dr. Tortora or one of the other doctors of the Hawaiian Eye Center, where life has never looked better, visit their offices in Central Oahu and in Hilo on the Big Island. Call for your appointment. The number on Oahu is 733-2020. That spells C-2020. From the neighbor islands, call toll-free 1-888-621-2020.
Hawaiian Eye Center offers complete eye care for the entire family. Now, cataract patients can reduce or eliminate their dependence on eyeglasses with premium cataract care in as little as 15 minutes. Their experienced surgeons have extensive cataract and general eye care experience. And they proudly welcome their newest eye surgeon, Dr. Stephen Ree. Dr. Ree brings a wealth of experience to the Hawaiian Eye Center team. To schedule an appointment with a member of the eye care team, call Hawaiian Eye Center today at 733-2020 or visit the website at hawaiianeye.com.
The news authority in Honolulu is News Radio, 830 KHVH.
It's 75 degrees, a few clouds in Honolulu. I'm Julia Norton-Dennis. Here's what's happening. President Barack Obama says voters need to be able to trust their president because they can predict what challenges he'll face in office. Speaking to supporters in Ohio, Obama says a president must say what he means and mean what he says. He says after 4 years in office, voters know what he believes. Mitt Romney says it's time we lead America to a better place. Campaigning in New Hampshire this morning, the Republican nominee blasted President Barack Obama for telling a crowd in Ohio last night that voting is the best revenge. Romney told supporters to vote for love of country instead. If you are experiencing traffic delays in Makakilo, Kapolei, or Kalaeloa, there is a run going on. The Color Run is sponsored by Pacific Sports Events, and it's expected to start at 9 a.m. with 10,000 runners. They begin and end at Hornet Avenue and will affect other roads in the area, including Roosevelt, Franklin, Saratoga, and Forest Avenues. The event is scheduled to end at about noon. Another slowdown is expected in Aiea. Traffic on Moanalua Freeway westbound may be clogged between 8:30 a.m. and 3 p.m. as crews continue repairing the Aiea pedestrian bridge near Aloha Stadium. The H1 freeway off-ramps to Aiea in both directions, and the Moanalua Freeway westbound Aiea off-ramp will be closed while the crews are working. A lawsuit was filed yesterday challenging new rules allowing for more endangered sea turtles to be incidentally caught by Hawaii's longline swordfish fishery. The complaint was filed by the environmental law firm Earth Justice on behalf of the Center for Biological Diversity and Turtle Restoration Network. Sunny, hazy, high in the upper 80s tonight, partly cloudy, a low near 72. Tomorrow, sunny and hazy, currently 75.
Hawaiian Eye Center offers you complete eye care for the entire family. Now, cataract patients can reduce or eliminate their dependence on eyeglasses with premium cataract care in as little as 15 minutes. Advanced technology lenses are designed to provide good vision for distance, near and in between, with less dependence on eyeglasses. When cataracts blur vision, a short, painless procedure helps. If you have a cataract and want back youthful vision, call Hawaiian Eye Center at 733-2020 or visit hawaiianeye.com.
The phone lines are now open at 521-8383. On the neighbor islands, it's a free call, 1-888-565-8383. And now, here's Dr. Christopher Tortora.
Doctor, my eyes have seen the years and the slow parade of fears without pride.
All right, welcome back. It's Dr. Christopher Tortora. You're listening to the Hawaiian Eye Show, and we're talking about eyes. as you can tell, because it's the Eye Show. This show is sponsored by Hawaiian Eye Center, where life has never looked better. We've got offices in central Oahu, in Wahiwa on Oahu, and in Hilo on the Big Island. If you would like to talk to one of our doctors during the week, make an appointment and come on in so that we can check your eyes. If you do have a question for us now, though, go ahead and give us a call. You can reach us here, 521-8383. That's the number to call from Oahu, 521-8383. If you're calling for the Neighbor Islands, there is a toll-free number. You can reach us using that. It's 1-888-565-8383. So 1-888-565-8383. And we're happy to take your calls now. It's the second half of the program. This is when we typically take the calls. It was an interesting experience I had yesterday. I went to a healthcare professional, and it turns out that it's one of the assistants in the office is someone who I take care of professionally. So it's my patient, and when she walked into the room and saw me, she said, "Oh my goodness, I have to tell you how wonderful what you did to my eyes is, and it's made such a huge difference in my life." And she proceeded to go on for the next 5 minutes or so telling me about what a wonderful experience it had been to have her cataracts treated and to basically have restored the vision to the vision that she didn't remember from even, you know, childhood. And so it made me think that, you know, really what we do for people who have vision problems, particularly when they're reversible problems such as a cataract, can really be quite life-changing, particularly for people who have worn glasses much of their lives and they have a cataract removed. And even a standard cataract removal, many people find that they're less dependent on eyeglasses after the cataract's been removed. And so the vision not only improves, but often the focus gets a little bit better as well. So if you want to see better without glasses, there's also the option of having a surgical procedure in it at the time of the cataract surgery, or enhancing the surgical procedure, let's say, to try to improve your vision both for distance and for near. So getting a special lens implant and dealing with astigmatism can help to reduce the dependence on eyeglasses over time. And so this is something that many people are opting for at the time of cataract surgery. It's almost like, you know, having a LASIK type procedure at the same time that you're having a cataract procedure, you end up with better vision. But the nice thing is that with the cataract procedure, with the enhanced cataract procedure, you actually end up with vision that's good not only for distance, which is what LASIK typically provides, but also which is good for close-up or reading. And so this is actually a nice option. Okay, well, we have some phone callers. So let's go to the phones. We've got Rose standing by in Kapahulu. Hi, Rose. Welcome to the program.
Hello. I've had a cornea transplant, and it didn't work. My vision gone down in that eye. And I was wondering, is there anything new?
Well, as far as corneal transplants, it's going to depend on what is causing the trouble with the transplant.
I have keratoconus.
Uh-huh. But I mean, what's the reason why it didn't work? Usually the reason that they stop working or that they don't work as well is because your eye rejects the transplant and the new cornea becomes cloudy or opaque or partially opaque. And if that's the case, there actually are things that can be done without doing a whole transplant of the cornea. If it's just the if it's a rejection that the inner part of the cornea fails, the part on the inside of the cornea closest to your eye, to the pupil, if that fails, there actually is the option to transplant just a portion of the cornea, the inner portion, which is a much quicker healing procedure. People who have this are usually healing within a couple of weeks, as opposed to, you know, 4 to 6 months for a full corneal transplant. So, so it may be something that you could benefit from. I definitely go and check with an eye specialist, particularly a corneal specialist, if you like. I know my colleague Dr. Rhee is doing a number of these procedures, not just on people who've had failed corneal grafts, but on people who have other reasons that the inner part of the cornea is failing. And so, it is something that has worked quite well in his hands. So, probably worth getting it checked out and seeing whether you might be a candidate for something like that.
Okay, thank you.
All right, thanks for the call. So the what we call endothelial keratoplasty is a procedure that's relatively new. It's only been around probably for a couple of years, and maybe 3-4 years. And there have been But there has been a good degree of success in getting corneas which are cloudy or opaque due to certain types of injuries or damage to the cornea over time to become clear again. And this is a much simpler procedure to heal from, and it is a shorter procedure to actually do. And so the eye recovers more quickly, and the cornea recovers more quickly because only a portion of it is being replaced rather than the whole thing. Because the typical corneal transplant, which is a removal of the actual whole corneal tissue and then replacement of that corneal tissue, which is then sewed in place, has a lot of issues associated with it. You know, you're sewing on a new tissue to a previously existing tissue. You have to worry about it being watertight because there has to be a seal so that the fluid inside the eye stays inside the eye. And so this is one issue. And then the shape of the new cornea is an issue as well. If the new cornea is sewn onto the old bed and the shapes aren't exactly matching, then there can be distortion of the new cornea, which can lead to irregular astigmatism. Astigmatism refers to the distortion that occurs in the vision when the cornea is irregular in shape, when it's oblong or oval or not perfectly spherical like a basketball. We like to talk about the football and the basketball analogy. It spherical like a basketball is how it should be for the clearest vision, but many people's eyes are more oblong shaped like a football, where it's kind of steeper in one direction and shallower or flatter in the other direction as far as the curvature goes. So that astigmatism can certainly distort the vision. All right, let's talk about a little bit more about some more news stories here. Let's see, we have a story here about a company, an organization called Super Focus, and they're launching their next generation of adjustable focus eyeglasses. Now, this is an interesting concept, the idea that you can put on a pair of eyeglasses and adjust it to your own prescription. Maybe you could share eyeglasses with other family members. I don't know what the implications of this would be in this country. But in foreign countries, it's a great option. In places, third world countries, where people can't really go in to see an eye doctor and figure out what kind of glasses they need. Self-adjusting glasses, if they were available, might be something that could help these people quite a bit. So let's read about this story here. It says, Super Focus LLC, which is the name of the company, launched its new Leonardo collection. Leonardo offers style together with user-friendly technology at a more affordable price. SuperFocus glasses allow users to adjust focus for perfect clarity at any distance through the entire lens. All it takes is a simple touch to the bridge of the glasses. Unlike bifocals or progressive lenses, SuperFocus lenses have no zones or lines. For this reason, there's no distortion, blurriness, or jump in the wearer's field of view. SuperFocus also eliminates the need to carry multiple pairs of glasses for different tasks or activities. They work under any lighting conditions and are ideal for virtually any leisure or professional activity. The intended market is the 70 million Americans who wear prescription glasses to correct presbyopia, which is near vision difficulty. It says with its next generation, the Leonardo collection, the eyeglass design has been reimagined. Leonardo offers the superior optical quality inherent in SuperFocus technology, but with more conventional styling. The SuperFocus collection, Leonardo collection, features focus module plus frame construction. The focus module, produced in the company's manufacturing facility in Southern California, incorporates an updated version of SuperFocus patented adjustable focus technology. It includes an easy-to-use wheel located on the bridge of the nose, which enables clear focus to be dialed in effortlessly. Leonardo collection frames are custom crafted in Italy from the highest quality cellulose acetate. They're initially available in attractive light or dark turquoise, and their styling is ideal for all day wear. Leonardo collection glasses may be ordered with clear tinted or transition front lenses to fit each individual's preference and lifestyle. The new mechanical design is intended for larger volume manufacture, thus it'll also introduce new, more accessible prices. So that's an interesting concept, being able to adjust your glasses when you need to read or when you need to see close or far or in between for the computer to get the right focus. I suppose I could imagine some people sitting there endlessly focusing their glasses, saying, wait a minute, I want to see that a little bit more in focus. Oh, wait a minute, let me see this in focus. And other people just kind of living with the blur because they can't be bothered to constantly be adjusting their glasses. So I think that there will be a kind of a unique user for this type of product. And we'll have to see how it catches on, whether it's something that people do actually like or enjoy, or whether it's something that people have difficulty adapting to and decide that it's too much work or too much effort. And I suppose people will buy a first pair out of curiosity, but whether they buy their second pair, I guess that's the big question, right? All right, let's take a short break. When we get back, we're going to, of course, take your calls. So give us a call now so we can line up those phone calls. 521-8383 is the number to call. We're happy to answer your questions, and we'll be right back.
If you need the personal attention of Dr. Tortora or one of the other doctors of the Hawaiian Eye Center, where life has never looked better, visit their offices in Central Oahu and in Hilo on the Big Island. Call for your appointment. The number on Oahu is 733-2020. That spells C-2020. From the neighbor islands, call toll-free 1-888-621-2020.
With the latest technology, cataract care is often a fast, painless procedure with a rapid return to normal vision and normal activities.
It doesn't hurt. It just takes, 15, 20 minutes the most, and you're out. That's it.
We strive to make your procedure safe and painless. Visit our website and learn what's involved in a cataract procedure. You'll be surprised how easy it can be.
Take a virtual tour of a cataract procedure at their website, HawaiianEye.com. To make an appointment, call Hawaiian Eye Center at C-2020. That's 733-2020. Or from the neighbor islands, call 888-621-2020.
The phone lines are open at 521-8383. And from the neighbor islands, 1-888-565-8383. Now, back to Dr. Christopher Tortora, our host of the Hawaiian Eye Show.
All right, welcome back. You're listening to the Hawaiian Eye Show. This is Dr. Christopher Tortora. We're talking all about eyes. If you have a question, if you'd like to talk about your eyes or a problem that you've had or something that you're curious about, or if you'd like to talk about a family member's eyes and how they may be affected by one thing or another, you can give us a call. 521-8383 is the number here at the radio show. If you want to reach us from the neighbor islands, there also is a toll-free number that you can call. Or if you're listening on the iHeartRadio app or you're listening another time, another place, you can call us toll-free, 1-888-565-8383, 888-565-8383. So there's only about 10 minutes left to answer your questions. So if there is something that you'd like to ask about, now is a perfect time to call in and get your questions answered. I'm going to be attending the annual meeting of the American Academy of Ophthalmology in the coming week or two, and this is a meeting which is, as I mentioned earlier, the largest meeting of eye care professionals anywhere in the world, I believe, and it's an international crowd as well as an American crowd, but it's a great place where a great opportunity to share ideas and new techniques, new technology. We generally hear from all of the manufacturers of new technology about how we may be able to incorporate some of the breakthroughs in technology into surgical techniques, into ways of dealing with other types of problems that affect the eyes At this particular meeting, there are a series of lectures. There are, as I said, manufacturers showing off their latest technology. There are other types of programs where new research is being presented. So it's really a great forum to learn everything there is to know about what's new and different and going on in the ophthalmology world. And so what I'm going to be doing is attending a series of lectures and courses and didactic seminars, as well as consulting with colleagues and presenting information from my work and things that I've done and that I've experienced. And this will be a great opportunity to share and exchange knowledge and information. And so what we're hoping to accomplish is to make sure that our practice here in Hawaii has the access to the latest information, the latest technology, all of the things that are necessary to make it a top-end leader of the pack kind of situation. So well, I'll report back about some of the new things that we've encountered when I get back from the meeting. Okay, we're we have a couple more news stories that we're going to discuss here. We have a story here about vision care professionals and the fact that they need to sometimes flag unsafe drivers. It says here, whether motivated by their own observations, prodded by concerned family members, or are referred patients who fail the visual acuity portion of the driver's test, vision care providers are having essential conversations about the emotionally loaded topic of whether older patients should continue to drive, according to two papers published online last month. More than 80% of vision care providers in Michigan are confident in their abilities to determine whether a patient's vision is adequate for driving. Although the potential for being sued for failing to report unsafe drivers is a barrier, according to the first article from the Department of Health Behavior at the University of Michigan. By 2020, roughly 40 million U.S. drivers will be older than 65 years, reflecting the graying baby boomer generation's role as the fastest growing segment of the driving population. Seniors who are still able to drive can remain active, independent, and socially connected. Those who no longer drive report decreased quality of life and increased depression and isolation. Older drivers, however, are more likely than younger drivers to be involved in intersection crashes and multiple vehicle crashes and to be found at fault for a crash. For adults aged 65 to 74 years old, automobile injuries are the leading cause of injury-related death, and the fatality rate for drivers older than 85 years is 9 times higher than that for drivers aged 25 to 69 years. So that's a significant statistic that shows that as people get significantly older, over 85, their risk of dying in a car crash becomes significantly higher. Kind of interesting. A random sample of 500 vision care providers were chosen from professionals with active practices in Michigan. Vision care providers were mailed a survey along with $20 incentive to complete it and a return envelope. Non-responders received a second survey at 4 weeks later and an email reminder with a link to the study 8 weeks later. 404 of the providers completed the survey. 72.5% were men, 55% were aged 50 or younger, and 27% said that more than 60% of their patients were over age 65. So the bottom line is they all agreed that counseling about safe driving is an important part of the job, but just 38% thought that they should report unsafe drivers to a government agency. And 43% thought such an action might breach patient-physician-patient confidentiality. Roughly one quarter of vision care providers thought they could be held liable for reporting a patient whose vision was inadequate for safe drivers, but 43% thought they could be held liable for failing to report such an unsafe driver. Many vision care providers were interested in additional driving assessment resources and access to standardized screening tools. So that's interesting. Says that in Michigan, many of the providers of vision care don't seem to have faith in the current reporting system, according to the authors of this study. Better communication among the vision care providers and their patients, and other healthcare professionals, driving experts may be needed. So what is the eye doctor's role in determining whether someone is safe to drive or not? That's an interesting question, and it comes up from time to time. So basically what we experience in our office here in Hawaii is that the driver's license bureau is basically the one that is responsible for checking the vision. And when people fail their vision test, that's generally when we see them, and they come into the office asking whether, in fact, they do see well enough to drive. Unfortunately, as an eye specialist, I seldom have insights into other factors that may be affecting someone's ability to drive. They may not be able to, they may be able to see just fine, but they may have other things that may limit their ability as a driver. And so it really involves a multidisciplinary approach. And so general doctors do get involved with this even more so than I do as a vision care doctor. If someone's vision drops below the normal driving vision range at a point when they previously were seeing well enough to drive. I'll often ask people if they are driving and then counsel them that they should not be driving due to safety issues at the at that level. If their vision has dropped significantly, there are systems for reporting poor vision in drivers to so that the Driver's License Bureau can do a more thorough evaluation to determine whether they should continue with their license. As a matter of fact, I saw a patient this week who had had some number of health issues that might limit their driving, and basically what they had to do is go through a driver's test, a road test, where it was an assessment of the ability of the patient to drive safely by a road test, you know, road test instructor, the people who basically go and tell you whether you pass your driver's road test or not. They ride with you in the car and they have you go through, you know, the normal road test. And if you pass, then they say, okay, well, you know, you can drive. And if you don't, they say, well, I'm sorry, we're going to have to take your driver's license away because you're not going to be safe on the roads. Whether this results in safer roads, it's hard to say, but it is at least a step in the right direction to make sure that people are getting screened for issues or problems when they need to be. So the vision element of the screening test, people need to be able to do two things in order to be able to pass the driver's vision requirement. One is they need to be able to see the line on an eye chart that corresponds to 20/40 vision or better. They need to see this in either one eye or both eyes. For a commercial driver's license, it needs to be in both eyes, but for a standard passenger vehicle license, it can be just in one eye. The vision is 20/40. And they need to have decent peripheral vision. If they have limited peripheral vision, they can have a mirror on the outside of the car, which most cars have on the passenger side of the car as well as the driver's side, and that can help to that people can adapt to a more narrowed field of vision. But if their field of vision is too narrow, then they're not permitted to drive at all. They're not permitted to pass the driver's license evaluation. Now, the interesting thing about driver's license testing for vision is that in Hawaii, we have one type of test, and that is one requirement. In other states, they have completely different requirements. It may be that in a state like Florida, where there are a lot of older drivers, the vision requirements are more relaxed than they are in a state like Hawaii or many of the other states across the country. And I think, in fact, Florida does have the most lax or most relaxed driver's vision requirements. I think in Florida, you only need to be able to see 20/70 or better in order to be able to pass the driver's vision test, whereas here in Hawaii, it's 20/40 or better, which is a full three lines further down the eye chart than you have to be able to see in Florida. So it's kind of scary if there's Floridian drivers driving around our streets here, I guess. All right. Well, we've been here for an hour now talking about eyes and eye care, and I've had a lot of fun, and I hope you have too. I'd like to thank Rachel for helping out here in the studio and say thanks to all you listeners for making this show work through your calls and through your letters. If you enjoyed our program today, you can always tell your friends about us, and they can listen too. If you learned something new, be sure to listen again next week, and if you have a question, you can always email it to us. Our email address is eyes@HawaiianEye.com, and we can answer those questions over the air. Don't forget to check out our website. It's www.HawaiianEye.com, and there are links on the website if you click the radio show button to our podcast and to archived radio shows that you can listen to. You can also follow me on Twitter. If you go to twitter.com/DrTortora, DrTortora, you'll find reports of some of the news stories that we've talked about today in the radio program, plus more. And you'll also be able to follow us on Facebook or like us on Facebook, facebook.com, Hawaiian Eye Center. The Hawaiian Eye Show is sponsored by Hawaiian Eye Center, where life has never looked better. I'm Dr. Christopher Tortora. Thanks for listening and aloha.
You've been listening to The Hawaiian Eye Show, sponsored by the Hawaiian Eye Center, where life has never looked better, with Harvard-trained eye surgeon Dr. Christopher Tortora. If you have an eye problem, want to get a second opinion, or aren't seeing as well as you used to, make an appointment with Dr. Tortora or one of the doctors of the Hawaiian Eye Center in Central Oahu or Hilo by calling C-2020. That's 733-2020. Until next week, here's looking at you.
Life has never looked better with Hawaiian Eye Center.
When you have a cataract, your vision gets gradually worse over time. You don't see as well.
Having the corrective surgery and now having the vision of a much younger man, I can see again.
Our state-of-the-art surgery center offers safety and convenience without a hospital stay. Visit our website and learn what's involved in a cataract procedure. You'll be surprised how easy it can be.
Take a virtual tour of a cataract procedure at their website, HawaiianEye.com. To make an appointment, call Hawaiian Eye Center at C2020. That's 733-2020. Or from the neighbor islands, call 888-621-2020.
AM, weeknights at 7 with George Norris.
The whole universe is accelerating and speeding up.
On KHVH Honolulu,
Hawaii's home for Fox News.